Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights, sponsored by the Camelot Center. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and each month I interview one of the elite group of Forever Family Foundation certified mediums on a variety of topics as they answer the questions that most of us seek answers. Tonight's guest is Janet Mayer. And if you would like to call in and speak with Janet, your questions are very welcome. However, please bear in mind that this is a learning forum only, and Janet will not be conducting any readings, okay? It's really just if you have some general questions. Just a little bit about Janet. She spent 4 years searching for answers about a language she spontaneously began speaking while in attendance at a holotropic breathwork seminar created by Stanislav and Christina Groff. Her journey led her to Dr. Bernardo Pixoto, who worked at the Smithsonian Institute and was able to identify and successfully translate the tapes that she recorded. These recordings turned out to be channeled languages of the Yanomami, Fulmeo, Tucano, and Canamari, all languages from South America, and they have continued to emerge ever since. Janet is, of course, a certified medium for the Forever Family Foundation and has served on its medium board since its formation in 2004. And she's participated in various mediumship studies and research stuff and remains very interested in helping to identify the process by which mediumship and channeling take place. She is the author of Spirits, They Are Present, and she can be reached on her website via www.janetmayer.net. And just want to welcome you to the show, Janet.
Well, thank you, Roman, for having me on Medium Insights. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's very, very nice to have you. And we're gonna have a topic. Our topic tonight is about dreams and connecting with deceased loved ones. But before we even start that, just some general information about you. When was it that you did realize that you had these abilities?
Pretty much since when I was younger, I had them. However, I really didn't label them. You know, I didn't put a name on them. Like, I instantly knew I was a psychic medium. It kind of took till I was, you know, was older, probably in my late teens and 20s, where I had a lot of incidents happening that I realized there was something bigger going on. And, you know, after that, it just kind of snowballed, and I eventually, you know, started doing my work and being tested and going from there.
Yeah. And I guess the big catalyst was that workshop with the Groffs, right?
That was huge. I went there because I was having so many visions. I was trying to put them in order or try to figure out what I was supposed to do.
Instead,
that actually amplified and gave me something else to focus on as well. So my path was kind of going in two different directions at one time, but it was, you know, it was a pretty amazing path, so I was fine with that.
Sounds like it. Wow. And where do you call home? Where do you reside in practice?
I am in Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, Missouri. Wow.
In the Midwest, yes.
And, you know, technology, you sound like you're right next door. You sound like you're in the same room.
Right. I like that.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So I guess you probably do in-person and phone readings. Is that what you do?
At this time, I only do phone readings.
Phone readings? Okay.
Yes. Yes, yeah, I like doing it that way. I have a certain way I work. I pretty much write down everything I receive from Spirit before the reading. And then when I do the reading, I give everything that I have written down and then anything else that comes through at that time.
When people
send me their payment, I hold their envelope, I write on it what I receive, and then I put it in a file, and then, you know, months down the line, I open the file and I start working on the reading, and then I just start, you know, meditating and writing down what I get. So, you know, everybody has their individual way, and that's just the way I work.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Yeah, and you know, I'm a big believer in the over-the-phone readings. They're just as good, if not better, than in person, because there's no distractions. There's no, you know, there's no chance of, like, let's say, being accused of cold reading by facial expressions or, you know, anything like that. It's pure spirit, because it just involves energy, right?
Right. And I even, you know, I don't even speak to anyone before I read them. That's another thing. You know, everything is done via email, so everybody, you know, has exactly what I sent them. I have a little way I work, and then it just goes from there. So, I, you know, it's just the way I prefer it on my, you know, I don't, like you said, I don't have to look at anybody. I just sit there and focus on what I'm receiving, and I go from there.
Cool, cool. Okay, well, getting back to tonight's topic about dreams and connecting with deceased loved ones, as a medium, do you ever connect through dreams, or do you ever have these dreams where you know you're speaking to somebody that's incarnate and that kind of thing?
Yes, I have a lot of, I'm really big into dreams. I this is like one of my favorite subjects, because, you know, you go to sleep at night and you think you're resting, but you can really actually receive a lot of information. And, you know, I kind of, let me explain, when you dream, there's different types of dreams. You know, you can have a dream which, you know, is premonitions, you're getting something in advance. You can just have what I call daily life dreams, which is, you know, it kind of takes you through your whole day, and it's like you rehash it. You're on rewind in your dreams about your day, and if you've experienced an up or you experienced a down. Or you can have a dream visitation, or, you know, maybe you go to them or they come to you. And yes, I've definitely had a number of those, and there's a lot of things that really connect when you know. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever had that, but if you have a dream where, you know, a loved one has come through, there's a lot of things that really stand out. And the first thing you're going to hear, you know, from anybody is they're going to say how real it is.
Right.
It just feels real. You know, everything's heightened in the dream. You know, you remember how you felt in that dream when you wake up. You can remember that dream years later. I mean, there's so many little things to that dream that you know it was real. It wasn't just, you know, well, did I have it or didn't I have it? I mean, if you question it, most likely you probably didn't. You know if you've had it. You know, it just feels different.
Absolutely. I mean, most times when you dream, if you don't, like, write it down, or if you don't think of it, you'll forget it, like, very soon after. Like, right when you wake up, you'll remember something, and then it's gone. And then that means it was just a regular dream, not a visitation.
Right.
You know, it's your thoughts, your mind kind of reconstructing itself and decompressing and doing whatever it needs to do to keep you sane, I guess. But yeah, the visitations are definitely a step beyond that. Well,
right. I have a really good story if you want to hear that, or if you want to wait till later. I mean, one time when we were having our home built, we stayed with some in-laws of ours and of my husband's, and they happened to live, there was a cemetery behind them. And there was a cemetery on the side of them. And I remember that the cemetery on the one side was where my grandmother had been buried back when I was I had just turned like 12 or 13. And I had went to sleep the one night, and I woke up in the morning, and it was like I heard her say, you know, come to the cemetery. And I thought, that's weird. And I just kept hearing it in my head all morning, come to the cemetery. And I dreamt something about the cemetery, and I thought, okay, there's a reason I need to be there. I don't know why. I'm just going to go try to drive over there. So I drive over there, and I'm driving around, and I'm thinking, okay, the only thing I remember in the dream, and kind of like when I was young, was this big statue of an angel. And so I'm driving around, and I get to the back of the cemetery, and there it is. And I stop the car, and I get out thinking, I don't know why I need to be here, but I heard her call me in the dream. She was calling me in the dream, and then when I woke up, to come there. And I kept thinking, why do I need to do this? So I finally find this, you know, big statue of this angel. I get out, and I'm walking down the sidewalk, and I'm trying to remember my dream, knowing she was with me, and I feel like she's next to me. And as I'm walking down, I hear stop. And I look to the right, and I look to the left, and I start walking to the left, and they're all flat tombstones, okay? They're all flat. And I start walking there, and all of a sudden I look down, and I not only see her gravestone, but I see the one next to her, which was my grandfather, who passed before any of the children, you know, the grandchildren were born. And that day it was his birthday. And it was really strange because it was as if she said, I want you to remember something, or I want you to see something. And of course, then I called my father that day, and I'm like, you're not going to believe this, because I had never met my grandfather, so I didn't know when he was born or when he died. I knew nothing about him. And so it was really interesting that she had come to me in the dream, and then she came to me again when I woke up, and she was telling me to go do this, and I'm thinking, why would I even do this? But it was as if she was letting me know that he was there with her, and that even though I didn't meet him, he knew he was still there, you know? And it was just kind of a cool little dream that it just kind of made me think, all right, there's something going on. But, you know, I've had other dreams where, you know, I would wake up every single night knowing something was wrong, which I have a story in my book about that. And I kept waking up and, you know, I was couldn't breathe. There was something wrong. And everything I was saying was just like, I can't breathe. You know, I feel like I'm on fire. I feel like there's something going on. And you know, I thought maybe I had an issue with my sleep. So I called a sleep apnea or a sleep lab, and they set the schedule for like the end of the month, which was like the end of September. And it was really strange because I kept waking up every single night with this, and I could not figure out what was going on. And then it was like each night there was something more that would happen in the dream. You know, I felt like I was going up steps, or I was in an elevator. Or I was, you know, there was smoke around me. I couldn't breathe. And then after the 9/11 happened, when 9/11 happened, after that, I never had that again. And it was as if somebody was coming to me to forewarn that was going to happen. And of course, I couldn't do anything about it. But it was like I was picking that up on a universal level that you hear a lot of other people had that same situation where they were waking up or had premonitions in that, in dreams as well. And I mean, dreams can come through in all kinds of ways, you know, something like that. But they also come through, your loved ones can come through. And you can have this really wonderful, beautiful moment where, you know, they come through like, it's just amazing.
And I wish it would happen a lot more often than it does, you know, because I know if it was the real thing, you'd remember it.
Right.
I have a 5-year-old son who passed away, and that's how I got into this whole thing, just trying to connect with him and all that. And he's come very rarely. I would have loved for him to come a lot more, but it has happened, and I completely remember every single little detail, every breath, every hair, everything about those dreams, you know. So
right.
You're definitely right when you're talking about, you know, when the difference between a dream and, let's call it a visitation, because a visitation is so real. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Right. Well, and that's exactly what you said. And you probably, I'm sure when you woke up, you had felt this peace and this comfort from him. You know, you didn't feel anything negative coming where, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, I don't know if I really had it because this was coming through negative. And I'm like, no, that's not it. You know, when they come through with peace and comfort, they're letting you know, because that's what they're doing. That's why they're coming to you. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not coming to you to give you anything negative. That's your own self, your own subconscious thoughts and, you know, maybe about someone who had passed in, you know, a very difficult way.
Right,
but when
they
come through with peace and comfort, they're showing you that, you know, look, I'm here, I'm okay. And that's what you need, and that's what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, you know, you wake up and then they're not there, and it's like, it's kind of hard, still is. But you know,
right, and sure, and I understand it, and that's true.
Of course. So in your book, you the spirits, they are present. Do you deal specifically with dreams, or you have a section in the book where you deal with your dreams?
Well, it's interesting because for clients, I will sometimes say, if you want to come through in a dream, you can. And I have had many clients where that will happen where, you know, I always ask for the, you know, the day before I do the reading.
Okay.
You know, I might work on a reading a couple days before, but the day before the reading, I will do that. I will ask some, you know, to say if you have something you want to tell me and you want to come through in a dream, there's something different than what I had received, I'll take that.
Okay.
And a lot of times it does happen. You do get that where you'll have somebody come through and they give you a whole scenario. And, you know, I might tell my client and they'll be like, well, I know who you're talking about, but I'm not sure about that situation. And then when you do that, you know, they have to go back and find out from someone else. And sometimes that makes it even more validating because they don't know the answer.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden they do.
That takes
so
care
really
of the skeptical reasoning of, you know, mind reading or whatever they want to call it. You know, if the sitter doesn't even know a certain fact but then finds it out later, that's like one of the strongest proofs you can get.
Right. And that's the thing. That's what's so great about it is you know, you actually have validation kind of coming through twice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to we need to take a little bit of a break to give our sponsors some airtime, and we'll be right back after about 2 to 3 minutes. So everybody, please hang in there, and we're going to continue this very fascinating conversation with Janet Mayer.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back, everybody, and I hope you had a nice commercial break, got some refreshments, and did some good stuff. And we are back here speaking with Janet Mayer, and I understand that we have a caller that has called in. We have Maya on line 3, so let's give Maya a listen to. Welcome, Maya.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. You have a question for Janet Mayer?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Hi, Maya.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
So I had an incident that happened to me about 20 years ago. And it's something I've never forgotten, and it happened, it was like a dream state, but I wasn't exactly asleep. I remember it vividly, and I went to sleep, but I was awake, and it felt like somebody from the other side broke through. And it's hard for me to explain, but we had a very passionate evening together, and I just never forgot that evening, and I could feel everything, and I was not asleep, and I can't imagine what that was or who that was or why that would happen to me. But I just was wondering if you had any insight.
On that, I'm not quite sure. I mean, for me, that would be, to me, that's, you could have either been like lucid dreaming where you were actually like kind of having your own experience, or it could have been that you were just open and with the other side. I mean, as far as someone coming through, I have never had that kind of experience, so I can't really say.
Okay. And that's fine. I was just like one of those things like, oh, yeah, I've never forgotten this. I've never talked about it. But it's like, I was just curious, so I thought I'd call in and see if maybe you would have, had heard of it before. But if you hadn't, I'm fine with that. So
I mean,
you.
I, to be honest, I actually have heard of that before. I have heard of it, other people having similar experiences with a loved one who had passed or crossed. And sometimes that their love, that it's just, they have such a connection that it's almost like having like a type of out-of-body experience. And when, you know, two energies like that meld together, it can give you a feeling like that. It can be very passionate, very loving, and it could be something similar to that. If, I'm not sure if that's exactly what you're, you know, referring to, but I've had other clients that had experiences like that, and they have told me something to that sense. So that is the closest that I could give you, is knowing that when that comes through, what I have received from the other side is there is so much love still and passion there that you really still feel all of that energy coming through you in all different, you know, in all different areas. And therefore, you know, you can feel that sense, and it's kind of a combined sense.
Can
so
this
that
have
would
something
probably
to do
be
with
the closest I could say.
Can this have something to do with soul groups? I mean, maybe there's somebody in your soul group, an entity in your soul group that's still on the other side that hasn't incarnated and, you know, that you've been with, like, forever, kind of, and maybe that could have been that spirit.
I mean, it could be something like that. I don't really know, so I don't want to exactly say it's exactly this because
right.
I don't know. I'm not reading her.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from what I understand, I have had other people that have had experiences similar to that. And when they do, I mean, it, you know, you do feel it, just like when you wake up from a dream after seeing, having a visitation from a loved one and connecting with them, and you do feel that. Like I said, you've never, it feels so real, and no one can take
right.
it, and therefore you feel that energy. Does that make
yeah,
sense
I
to
know.
You?
It does, because, but I know for a fact I wasn't sleeping, and I remembered everything, and it wasn't anybody I had just lost, because I hadn't lost anybody. So I think what the gentleman was saying about somebody from a soul group, that would make sense. It was just, the feeling was just so, it was so present, and it was just
right.
so vivid, and it was so real. It was something that, like, I never talked about it, because it was too weird. It's like, who am I going to say this to? They're all going to think I'm weird.
Right.
So
but you know what? I don't, you know, we don't think you're weird. We totally
no,
understand. I mean, it is, it's, you know, that's the thing is people, you know, a lot of people don't understand that emotion that is attached, you know, and you can't explain it to someone else who doesn't understand it. So that is, you know, that's probably what you were experiencing, something very emotional and deep like that.
Yeah, I just, okay, well, I don't want to take up your time. I was just curious, and I felt somebody's presence very strongly. I was just like, who is this person? And I felt so much love. So maybe it was a different lifetime or somebody who just broke through because they were able to, or I don't
right.
know. It was just so odd.
Yeah,
right. Well,
I would suggest Googling, like, soul groups and seeing what you can find out about that, because it might lead you to some interesting insights.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for your
you.
Call, Maya. Have a great
okay,
day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too. Well, and that's a perfect example of, you know, all the different experiences you can have. And like, you know, she said she wasn't quite in a dream state, and it could have been like a lucid type dream. So she was kind of going out a little bit. But, you know, in the same sense, it's like there's so many different angles to dreams and what you feel. You know, you can wake up feeling peaceful. If you have a you know, you might feel like you communicate it with someone in a way that no one else would understand but you. And if she was feeling this love and this connection, I mean,
absolutely,
that's something right there, you know?
Of course. Hey, you know what? We got the phones are lighting up. We got Audrey on line three that would like to say, ask you a few questions. Is that okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay, let's welcome Audrey on line three. Hello, Audrey.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Yes, can
welcome
you hear
to
me?
The show.
Thank you. I have something that happened in 2015. I was shopping at Kohl's, and all of a sudden, I was shopping for my son's interview clothes. All of a sudden, a voice came and said, "You're going to bury him in those clothes, and you're going to be going, moving quicker than you think." I didn't know what to say or what to do. And so the next morning, my son died.
Oh, wow. I'm very sorry for your loss. I think what you received was a premonition. I think there was a loved one on the other side that was letting you know what was going to happen. And that was their way of helping you prepare for what was to come.
Yeah, it wasn't. I'm sure it wasn't done in a mean-spirited way or anything.
No, not at all. I think it was very much. You were receiving a premonition, Audrey, and I think that they were letting you know that. And I think also to give you a sense of, you know, you were feeling, if you were feeling like there was nothing you could do, there wasn't anything you could do. It was their time, and I think they were letting you know that.
And Audrey, I know if this incident occurred in 2015, the wound is still fresh. So, I mean, I was there too. For me, it happened 8 years ago. Time does heal it a little bit. It makes it a little bit less intense. And I understand what you're going through because I lost a son myself. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You will be reconnected.
Yes, you will. You will.
I swear to God, you will be.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
well, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it's just heartbreaking when you hear that. You know, and
you can
I think
hear it
that
in her voice.
Yes, and her, you know,
emotion.
And the thing is to me, that was so clear of a loved one on the other side letting her know in advance.
Absolutely.
And you know, some people think that's, you know, they would say, "Well, that's horrible," but it's really not. It's a way, another way for her to hold on to understanding that this was going to happen.
Plus, you know, maybe if she wasn't warned, the shock could have maybe, you know, done some real serious damage
right
to her, maybe, you know?
Oh, exactly, so, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we appreciate that call, just, you know, another facet of the coin, I guess, you know? Life
right
is tough. Life is really tough, you know?
It
That's
is
why people like you are so important, absolutely. So you were going to tell me, before our break, we were talking about, you know, you were telling me a story about the cemetery, and you said that you might have, you probably have other dream stories that you'd love to share with us, right?
Right. Well, there was, you know, there's a story about my mom when my mom passed, and it was shortly after that. I guess it was a couple months, and, you know, I had went to sleep, and like anybody, you know, grief for anybody, it doesn't matter if you're a medium or not. You know, I was in grief as well, and of course, I always ask, you know, if it's time and you want to give me a sign, you know, I would appreciate it. And then I just go to sleep. And if anyone, you know, is looking for a sign, I always, you know, suggest to, before you go to sleep, just, you know, reach out to them on the other side. Just say, "I know you're around, and when it's time, would you please give me a sign?" And I think that, you know, you're opening that door a little bit. That's how I personally look at it. And I had went to sleep one night, and I woke up in the middle of the night after a dream, and I had seen my mom, and she was standing in a street, and it had cobblestones on it, and there was nobody in the street but her.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I was nervous that when I first saw her, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, this, and you know, it was very real, and I'm slowly like walking up to her, and I'm looking around, and it's cobblestone, everything is black and white. There's one street lamp, and there's this glow of a light, like a halo light shining on her head. And all of a sudden, I could hear her talking to me, and she told me to look down, and with her was her dog, which was like one of my all-time favorite dogs that I've ever known. And I was so happy to know that she connected with her dog. And with that, all of a sudden I woke up and sat up in bed, and I was like, she was letting me know she was okay with, you know, with Mandy, the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, there was something that was like in the back of my head that I couldn't quite grasp. And I thought, what? There was some another message she was giving me. And the alarm went off in the morning, and the song came on, Sound of Silence. And if you know that song, mm-hmm. it talks about walking along a cobbled stone, and there's the glow of the halo of the street lamp. And that was the song that came on when the alarm went off. And it was like her validation again. And that was exactly how I saw it in the middle, you know, when I was dreaming.
Wow.
So it was really cool because mm-hmm. to me, not only did she let me know that she was okay, that, you know, it wasn't like I had to see all these other people and look for her or anything. It was like she's saying, hey, here I am. I'm standing right here. And then she played this song, which happened to be one of my favorite songs growing up.
Right,
and
right,
so
right.
I thought that was really cool that she showed me the exact, like, setting of what that song was as well. So that was kind of cool.
That is cool. That is really cool. So if people wanted to, let's say, experience or increase their chances of having a visitation, what steps would you recommend, you know, especially like before going to bed, you know, is there some ritual or something you should do just to, you know, increase the chances? And you know what, I'm asking from a selfish perspective because I'd really like to, you know, participate in that as well.
Right. Well, I think the big thing is, you know, when we go to sleep at night, you know, people think, oh, I just want to sleep and I don't want to think of anything else. And especially if you're going through grief and you've had a day where it was just really difficult, all you want to do is like close that door. But for me, I always look at it like that is the perfect time to open the door is when you're relaxed, when you're, you know, in a sleep state. And you simply, you know, I would normally just, what I would do is, and what I do is I just ask. You know, people forget to ask and say, you know, they say, I really want to see so-and-so. Or you go to bed and you're like, I really hope so-and-so shows up. But what you need to do is simply ask them to show up. Could you show up to me when the time is right? Can you let me know? Can you give me a message?
Address them in the first person
and ask them, mm-hmm. you know, like I would say, you know, Mom, I know you're there. I know you're around me. I've had a numerous, you know, signs that she's come along the way in validations, but, you know, come to me in a way that, you know, I'll understand. And, you know, you can ask them that in a dream, say, please come to me, you know, in a way that I will understand. And, you know, and then you just wait and don't hold on to it every night. You have to let go of it because when you let go, that is when you open the door for it to come through. But when you're standing there holding on to the door saying, come on, I want to see you, then it makes it more difficult to get through. And I think, you know, grief plays a huge part in this because we are very emotional.
Right.
And I think that when you, at night, you're letting go of that. You're simply allowing it to come through, allowing them to come through. And then you can kind of see that they'll come through and they will communicate in a way that you will understand. You know, and it may even be really quick and simple. Like I was telling you this dream about my mom, and it was very quick. It wasn't like it was, you know, it went on for 10 minutes. It just was a snap of a finger.
Mm-hmm.
I knew she was there. I knew I was with her. I was somewhere with her.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was that quick, but it got the message across. I knew she was okay. She was letting me know who she was with. And then when I woke up, I had a second validation by the song that was exactly the setting that she was standing in.
Right,
and I
right.
mean, there's, you know, it's really important that you're open to what you see. And then once you do have that, what you can also do is you can ask yourself questions to help you remember, you know, like when you wake up, like, what did I feel when that came through? What did I feel? And was this, you know, who was this coming through? And how did they make me feel? And why did I get this? And it can kind of like give you little answers to, you know, to make it even bigger and make it even stronger that it stays with you. Although you probably wouldn't need that when it happens.
Right.
Because
right,
it's
right.
going to stick with you. And even though we always dream and we usually forget shortly after waking up, in that case, it will stay with you and you will feel it and it will be significant. And often another thing is a lot of times they come through on significant dates. Like, for example, the dream with my grandmother, it was the birthday of my grandfather who I'd never
right.
met, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't know when he was born. I didn't even know his date of passing because I had never met him. He died years before. And
right.
she came through on a significant date. So often they will come through at a significant point for something, whether it's an anniversary, a birthday, you know, some function that might be going on in your life at this time. So, you know, always kind of remember that. Like when it happens, pay attention when you wake up and go, wow, why did I get that? You might find out later it was so-and-so's birthday and you think, holy cow, I just got a double validation, which
absolutely,
to me is even more amazing.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Hey, we have another caller. We have Susan on line four that would like to ask you a question. So let's welcome Susan to the show. Susan, are you there? Hello, Susan?
Can you hear me?
Hi, Susan. Welcome to Medium Insights.
Hi.
How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
So I lost my son in November, and I've had two actually very significant dreams. One that I woke up knowing that he had visited me, and he gave me a really long hug, and he let me hold him for a really long time, and that was just the most amazing thing.
Yes.
But my question is regarding another dream that I had. It was very shortly after he died, and I was driving looking for him, and I passed an old piece of furniture. I drove into a cul-de-sac, and I parked in the middle of the cul-de-sac, and I was calling him, and someone came over and asked me if I was looking for my daughter, and I said, no, I don't have a daughter. I'm looking for my son. And I went to text him, and my phone was going backwards in time. And then all of a sudden, he was there, and he looked like he was okay. He was playing, and then I looked at his face, and he had Band-Aids on his forehead. And I asked him, what's the matter? And he just said, cause. And all of a sudden, I felt myself, like, pulled back in space, like flying through just space. And I woke up, and I had a song also in my head. It was the Led Zeppelin song. And it was the words were, when mountains crumble to the sea, there will still be you and me.
Wow.
And I just wanted to see if you had any insight as to what, you know, that was about, how that, you know.
Well, I think, I mean, it was that was a pretty amazing dream. I think he gave you a ton of information in that dream. I think that he was letting you know not only that he was there, and that to me, like the bandage meant there was a scar in a way, you know, kind of like you would have a scar on your heart from what happened. You know, to me, I think that the dream, I'm not sure with the Led Zeppelin song, I would have to listen to the words again and re-listen. But I feel like, too, like when you were going to a cul-de-sac, I mean, you know, what is a cul-de-sac? A cul-de-sac is basically kind of in a way a dead end. It's a circle. It's also a circle of life, but it's also a dead end. And there's a number of messages in that. Like I always take all these pieces about the dream and I try to like lay them out. And for you, when you said something about the cul-de-sac, I'm like, well, to me, that's a circle of life, but it's also, you know, it also is in a way a dead end. And even though it might be that, it's part of life. And he's letting you know that he was there with you and that the bandage was kind of a scar for him or something, you know, it's a bandage over what happened, but it still means he's there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And what about being pulled backwards, like in space or?
Well, I mean, I feel like, you know, when we're born, where do we come from? And when we go back, where do we go? We're back over there. You know, whether you call it on the other side and the universe, I mean, to me, that was just a representation of that to me. There may be more. And I would always look to what you think and what you believe, because a lot of times, like when people go and look in these dream books, they automatically think, oh, it has to be this. But I want you to also look at your dream and go over that dream and think, what kind of meaning does this dream have to me? Like when I said before to ask questions about the dream, you know, that visitation you had with them. What did that feel like to you? And what was it signifying to you? Because obviously he was giving you, it sounds like, many messages, but he was also letting you know he was still there and that he's with you. And I think that that is the biggest message. You know, that is the most heartwarming one.
Yeah.
But all these other messages are little pieces of his life and your life. And if you went back into it, and maybe if you went back in time to when he was a child and maybe remembering all these different memories, that would also give you, you know, a little bit, you know, of a hug as well.
You know, also...
Can I ask you another question?
You had mentioned that something about a daughter, and that it wasn't a daughter, it was a son, and that might be in reference to the fact that, you know, when we do cross over to the other side, there's a lot of people that think, believe it, we're not gender specific on the other side. We're souls, you know.
Right.
So it could very well be that, you know, that he was trying to tell you that, you know, it's not, it's, you know, there is no gender kind of thing, you know?
Right. I've also had a couple of other dreams where I wake up and I have a memory of him from childhood, like a game that he used to love to play or a toy that he used to love to play with. Is that from him also?
It's very possible. If you were feeling that connection and it felt different to you and you felt like you were there with him, then chances are you were going back together and having that experience. And maybe he could have just been giving you that as well, just sharing a memory. It could be that simple too. I mean, there's a lot of different aspects of how they can come through. And whether it's, you know, whether it's simply him bringing through a memory for you that you can treasure and hold on to, it's just another way of him to say, hey, Mom, I'm here. I'm still here. You know, we have all these memories that we can hold on to until I see you again. And I think, you know, that's a really beautiful thing that he's doing by giving you these different dreams. And I would, you know, and yeah. hold on to those, because when people say, oh, it's just a dream, you know what? Let them think it's just a dream, because it's not necessarily just a dream. You're actually having a personal experience with your son. And that is something amazing no one can take away from.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Great. Well, Susan, thank you so much for your call and for you know, for sharing
thank
that
you.
With us. It's
yes, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, take
thank
care.
You. Have a good night.
So,
bye-bye.
You
bye-bye.
Too.
So we have to go to another quick commercial, and
okay.
we'll be back again to discuss more about dreams and, you know, your insights. Okay? So
okay.
everybody hang in there. We'll be back in a few. Thank you.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's Dr. Parisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here spending some time with Janet Mayer on a very fascinating topic about dreams and communicating with deceased loved ones. And I think, Janet, you were gonna share some insights, some more insight that you had.
Well, mainly I was going to suggest that, you know, if someone's interested in dreams, you know, you hear a lot of times people say, "Oh, keep a journal." And I was never disciplined enough to keep a journal every night. Mm-hmm. But what I do is if I have a dream or a visitation from a loved one, or I go see them in a dream in some sense, then that is when I do write it down. And that's what I would suggest, you know, to anyone listening, that, you know, write those down and date it and time it and see if you're receiving more information from them. You know, they may be putting extra little pieces of something in the dream that you're not catching, and you can write out the dream. And one thing that I had learned that I thought was really, really a great way to do this was you start backwards with the dream, because whenever somebody has a dream, they always try to start it from the beginning, and then they forget the ending, and then all of a sudden they forget the middle. But if you start backwards, if you get something and you start writing it backwards and say, okay, this is what I saw last, and then I saw this, and then if you jump to the middle or you get something else, you can add it in, and right. Then you can either rewrite it or leave it how you got it. And that's something that is, you'll actually receive more information. And that was something I learned in a dream course, oh gosh, back in the 90s, I think I went to ARE dream type of weekend, and mm-hmm. It was really interesting because I found that worked really, really well for a lot of people. So I would highly suggest to write it down, date it, time it, you know, write it backwards. And then, you know, like I said, you might start seeing a pattern of when, you know, someone comes through. Like I said, if they come through on an anniversary mm-hmm. or someone's birthday, or maybe there's a wedding coming up, or maybe you're just going through even a more difficult time than normal, that's when they'll come through. And right. And they give you a lot of, you know, there's a lot of comfort in that. And you said, you know, you understand that too. You know, Roman, you've had that where, you know, it does give you, it brings you comfort. And even though you always want more, you still have that dream to hold on to. And that's something a lot of people wouldn't even think about.
Right. I think that when you have your dreams, your actual visitations, I mean, you're not going to forget those. Those are boom in your face. They're
right.
Definite big things. But like you said, you might have these little things that, little pieces of information that either come before or after that. And those, yeah, if you don't mark them down, then you can quite possibly forget them.
Right,
really,
right.
A good way to remember, absolutely.
And I mean, it's you know, and it's something simple and, you know, easy. And I mean, I've already, like I said, for clients, I'll wake up, like when I ask for a dream for a client, if I think, I feel like I'm missing something, there's something more. And I don't do this for every client, but every once in a while I have somebody, and it never fails. That's the night that I have some kind of dream for them. I might get up in the middle of the night and hurry up and write it down and just say so that I don't forget it, because
right.
We do forget dreams a lot of times. But I think when, you know, and it's different when it is a, you know, a message from a loved one, but or a connection rather than a message. But I think it's still important that we don't lose those as well, because any message we receive from a loved one in any form, we should take and, you know, hold on to and just keep it as, okay, that's, you know, another sign from them. And that's,
you know,
important.
What might be even easier than writing it down is just have a tiny little digital tape recorder, a digital recorder beside your, you know, on your nightstand.
So you, right. You know, and that, yeah, that would be great too. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That would be perfect.
Then you don't have to turn on the light. You can do it in the dark, and, you know, it's
right.
A lot easier, you know, especially if you're alone, if you're sleeping
right.
With someone.
Right, but I think it's really important that people understand that when, you know, if they question, when they get a dream like that and they know they received, that their loved one came to them or they went to their loved one, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we all need to understand that is very important, because it has a different feel to it. And if we all start acknowledging that more, I think that even brings it out more, you know, and I really, you know, it's really important.
Well, you know, when you come to think of it, we're not meat puppets. You know what I mean? We have souls that we're inhabiting our bodies, and there's just so much more to us than just the chemical reactions and the electric signals going through our nerves, and there's just so much more than that. That is, you know, that is what's housing our spirit, and
right.
Our spirit is here for now, but there's just so much more. And I think the dreams, you know, just like, you know, I think
that dreams, they connect
the unconscious.
Us, right, and it connects us on a vibration easier, you know,
mm-hmm.
When we're moving through the day and we're all going at all these different speeds and we have all this stuff going on in our head, you know, we always think, oh, we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss a message or a sign. But I think when they're going to come to you however they want to come to you, whether it's during the day or night, and it's in that vibration they're going to come to you, and it's a perfect time at night. You're sleeping. Why not? That's a great time for them to come, and, you know, you're kind of at peace yourself. You're sleeping, and they can come to you. You can go to them and, you know, have this, you know, hug, as I think Susan said, which was beautiful. And then, you know, you received a message. You wake up the next morning, and often, you know, you feel really kind of refreshed. You feel like, you know, you have this comforting feeling, a loving feeling. It makes you feel good, and that carries on it'll carry on forever. You know, you'll feel that forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I guess they say that everybody has a certain amount of mediumistic abilities. I mean, we're all spiritual. We're all spirits. And some people have, you know, learned, like yourself, have that ability to tap into, like, this energy and be able to receive messages and all that kind of stuff, either through clairaudience or, you know, seeing things or, you know, one of the other senses. I guess what I'm trying to get to is I would think that probably the easiest way for us non-mediums would be, you know, through the dream state.
Well, I think it's a good start. And I think, you know, I really do believe everyone is psychic. I do think everyone has some psychic ability, just like, you know, when you go to school, everybody is at different levels. I think that's the same way with every psychic. I don't necessarily know if everyone is a medium, but I do believe we can have connections. And I do believe dreams is a wonderful way to allow yourself to kind of start exploring, because you're not doing it, you know, you don't have to worry about having extra time during the day or extra time in the evening. It's, you can go to sleep and you can, you know, you can even do a little meditation before you go to sleep, which a lot of times that can, you know, help, can be really helpful when you go to sleep, is do a simple meditation. And, you know, whether you want to say some type of prayer or some type of poem or something little that you might make up, like I have a little thing I've made up and I just say it all the time before readings. And, you know, I say it and it's like it takes me in. You know, some people like to play a certain song and that brings them to a certain place. You know, just start doing something every night that you might say the same thing, you know, that you may, you know, just tell them you love them, your loved one, and you can ask them to come to you when, you know, when it's needed, when they feel it's right. And, you know, of course, we're here. We feel every night and every moment is right. I think that's just a normal human feeling. We want to see them all the time. But I also feel like if you just say, you know, come to me when the time is right, and then you let go, you know, after you do this, when you let go and then you go to sleep, if it's that time, that's when they'll come to you. And they know when you're needed. I really believe they know when they need to come to you. And like I said, of course, we want it every single night, but it doesn't really work that way. You know, it kind of is like, you know, we are open, and when the right time happens, then that's when they will appear.
Right.
But I do believe, you know, they're around us a lot of times when we don't feel it, you know, and, you know, I know some people say, oh, they're around you 24 hours. And to me, I always think, you know, I'm pretty boring. I hope nobody is around me for 24 hours.
Me too.
So it's kind of like they'll come to you when it's needed. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, they're happily living whatever they're doing on the other side. I mean,
right.
The many books that I've read, and it's just absolutely stunningly beautiful there, and it's a great life. And we're incarnated here to learn some very hard lessons. You know,
right.
It's kind of like a fast track. You know, we're
right.
Physically
a fast track
limited.
With emotions.
Yeah, yeah, and we have to deal with the ego as well, you know, which is not our friend, you know. Just makes
right, but I think the message, the best message to take home from this is to know that, you know, when they come to us, they're letting us know they're safe. They're letting us, they're giving us comfort. There's no fear. There's only love, you
right.
know, and what more could we ask for? I mean,
that's, right.
that's what they give us. And I mean, what a beautiful message that is to wake up to in
absolutely.
The morning.
Absolutely. And you know what? That is a fantastic way to end the show. We're out of time. Can you believe it?
Oh, wow.
It went by so quickly. I can't
it
believe
did.
That. It's like, it's time to say goodbye to everybody. So we want to thank all of our callers for calling in. I want to especially thank you, Janet, for some wonderful insights. And it's been a great show. It was very fascinating, and I want to thank our sponsors, and we'll see you, you know, I'll be back again, I guess, on the second Tuesday of April, which would be the 10th, is my next time that I'm coming back with the Medium Insights. But in the meantime, you know, just, you know, we know that, you know, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and that science is going to prove it. Good night, everybody.